Hello, this is Effie Pilarino. I'm interviewing today Tricia Martinez. She's the founder and CEO of Walla. Walla is a blockchain venture that is focused in financial inclusion in emerging markets. Walla is both foundation and a company, and Tricia will be explaining to us why Walla came about and how she is using blockchain with respect to bringing more financial services to emerging markets. Tricia, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So I understand that you live in South Africa, or you spend most of your time in South Africa.
Yeah, so I'm originally from the US, from Chicago, but I have been living in South Africa for a few years now, a year and a half about.
Okay, so is it blockchain that really brought you to spend more time and to move over to South Africa?
No, so I've been in the financial inclusion and fintech space for my entire career working in Africa. So I started in Uganda, which is where Walla, essentially the concept for Walla developed. And, just to give some background, Walla is a zero fee mobile financial platform for emerging market consumers. So we recognize that the greatest barriers for consumers to operate in the financial systems are costs and access. So, a basic thing with access is geographical location. You don't have the right form of identification. You don't have a credit history to get a loan. So a number of things create the access barrier. But the other barrier that a lot of people don't really talk about is cost and how the banks and mobile money providers throughout Africa and other emerging markets have developed these fee-driven business models. So, banks don't have a traditional savings and loans model because they're not bringing in enough savings to provide more loans. So they charge really high fees on every single transactional action. So opening an account, depositing, withdrawing, inquiring about your account, looking at your balance, anything comes with a fee. So it really disincentivizes consumers from participating in the financial system, which is why we still see 94% of transactions in Africa still in cash, which is crazy. So I went to Uganda and started my first company to provide universal basic income to subsistence farmers. And it was there that the concept of having a safe an affordable and accessible place to store and grow your money kept coming up. And I was fascinated by the fact that there's this massive population in emerging markets, really called the underbanked consumers who, participate in the financial system, but by choice choose not to use a bank account because they know it's cheaper and more efficient for them to just keep their money at home. Or just to use cash. So it's a crazy space. And I ended up in South Africa because we recognize that South Africa is the financial hub in Africa. There's a lot of technical talent, and we saw it as a good place to start developing the team and growing.
So your development team is already there in South Africa.
Yeah, we're almost a team of 15, all based in Cape Town.
Okay. And this is interesting, Tricia, because as you know, I also come from the fintech angle into this, and more I'm talking and realizing that a lot of ventures, blockchain ventures, are coming from the fintech space, because they're obviously people that understand the needs and what is the added value and how to go about it, which is essential, because it's not about the technology per se. It's about what is the need and how, what kind of business model you're going to implement. And you hit the nail when you spoke about understanding what it is that is the problem when you spoke about the costs. So you are using the technology in a way that solves that business problem, correct?
Yeah, initially that's what we're doing. So Walla started out, and to be clear, Walla is this zero fee platform. It's a consumer facing app, and Dala is the cryptocurrency that we issued last year. So we started Walla with the idea that, you know, the system is not designed for these consumers. There's no incentive for them to participate, which is why cash is still king. It's why everyone uses cash. That's the biggest competitor for us. And we said if we in order to get more consumers to participate in the system, we need to remove those barriers and create more efficiency. So Walla was designed to work between banks, financial service providers, and consumers. So we digitize a bank's products and services, loans, insurance, accounts. We then go out and have this consumer-facing application. We acquire customers, manage their transactions within this platform, and the bank and Walla share revenue on, you know, assets under management, on interest generated from loans. And so it kind of was this new channel for banks who have no technical capabilities to build out an app, who struggle to remove a lot of those costs associated with the branch networks and the ATMs and however they're operating. The issue that we kept running into, and still do with some partners, is they recognize that if they remove fees with Walla, that they could essentially be cannibalizing their own business. It's just hard for them to revolutionize their entire business model, right? Like flip it upside down, remove fees. Mm-hmm. So it became very frustrating for us because it's just the basic concept of a business model, and the banks weren't willing to service consumers more efficiently when they were becoming profitable. And so we always knew blockchain would be a strategy for us. And we thought that providing crypto wallets might be something interesting for our users, but we quickly realized that, you know, we could actually issue a cryptocurrency and provide all those services that a consumer wants and remove all those fees by operating on the blockchain. And that's when the concept for Dala came about. Last year, we issued the cryptocurrency. It enables instant borderless micropayments. So we really wanted to design something that really supported the behaviors of these consumers, sending very small amounts of money, transacting in very, very small amounts, you know, generally less than 80 cents US dollars on average. So that was the most exciting thing, is we can actually create something that's designed around these behaviors and actually supports consumers in a brand new financial system. You know, I've become, after being in this space, in the crypto space, you know, every day I become more and more angry, I would say, with the banks and the systems that are, you know, that are in place, because they're not actively working to support these consumers. You know, there's a reason that 3.5 billion people don't operate in the formal financial system. And I really think that cryptocurrency and blockchain can start a financial revolution, and that we can create a new system designed for these consumers.
Great. So when exactly was Dala issued?
Last year in December.
So yeah. It is a pure utility token operating behind the scenes to make the Walla app, or is it already integrated with a Walla app, or it's in the process?
Nope. So we've been live for about a month and a half in South Africa, Zimbabwe, and Uganda. And a user has a Walla app, and within the app you have a Dala wallet. So Dala, you know, the way we kind of provide messaging and context around what Dala is that it's initially a rewards token for these users, so that they can, any platform enhancing behavior, they earn rewards. But what we've started to see when we launched was that these users are buying Dala daily. They're using it to buy airtime, electricity, DSTV, water, school fees, data for their phone. They're sending it cross-border to friends and family. And the growth we have had in, you know, the last month and a half, it's been insane. As a startup, we had no, you know, we assumed that people would start using it, especially if we provided rewards, but the growth we have seen has been monumentous. It's just insane. And so we were already, as a company, dealing with scaling issues and, okay. you know, which is exciting. These are great, finally, yeah. really good problems to have. So
this, you know, question of how we design tokens to create a community, to incentivize the community, it seems that the community wanted this, was ready for this in a way that you hadn't even anticipated.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's not surprising because the concept of tokenized assets have been in existence in Africa for a very long time, right? Like, that is essentially what why M-Pesa started. They recognized yeah. that consumers were using airtime as a form of value to pay people. And that's what we're doing. Dala is a medium of exchange. It holds value, and these users know that. They can send it to people. They can buy things with it. So, you know, it's been much easier adoption in these markets than you would ever see in the U.S. or European markets because, one, these consumers are dealing with serious problems in the financial system, and two, they're already exposed to these types of transactions. They know how these things work. They're constantly dealing in multiple currencies in their head. So it's been really fascinating watching the behavior and watching the uptake of this.
So it is clear that these the cryptocurrencies or the token concept resonates much more in the emerging markets than in our developed world, where we look at them and we are, you know, criticizing and doubtful and comparing it to existing and, you know, looking at it on the sidelines, whereas what you're saying there is it really resonates because in a way they already do that in their everyday life, as you described, with airtime being a tokenized asset.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's just one of the elements of it. And the other piece is, you know, I have the conversation about Bitcoin with so many people and like, why didn't we use Bitcoin? And why isn't Bitcoin taken off as a store of value medium of exchange? And it's because the target users of Bitcoin don't deal with those problems. I operate as American. I hold the USD. USD is a very strong currency. I don't have issues with transacting, with grocery shopping, with purchasing things. You know, it's the systems that are designed for me work, and I'm happy with them. You know, there are obviously some certain problems, but still I don't have significant problems. And that's why in these markets, when you have inflation, when you're, you know, dealing with serious exchange risk, when the second your president opens his mouth, your currency devalues, right? These are not strong currencies, and these consumers are monitoring these things on a daily basis. And because their financial systems are not designed for them, they're trying to navigate and find better alternatives. So this is why crypto is going to be extremely successful in these markets. And I've told, you know, that's what I constantly preach to people is if you want to get in where the opportunity is, like look to emerging markets. Those are where the problems are. And that's what cryptocurrency can start supporting and solving some of those problems.
Essentially, if you want to have impact by you know, applying this technology, this is where you go in emerging markets.
Yes.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about your future plans. I know that it's early. Dala is as you said, just a year old. What is the plan and the vision with respect to Dala?
Yep, so we're, you know, this year actually, we're planning to expand to 8 additional markets. So what's exciting about what we've done is we started the company in 2014. So we've been on the ground working on this for 4 years, building out an ecosystem. So building out partnerships, distribution for cash in, cash out, And that's the biggest hurdle generally. It's like, especially when you're launching a cryptocurrency, is creating an ecosystem, because anyone can issue a cryptocurrency, put it in the hands of people. But if I can't transact with it, if I can't cash in, cash out, it holds no value. So we've been focused on doing that. And so we right now have 100,000 merchants who are on the ground in Africa to do cash in, cash out points. We haven't turned them on yet. So in the next month or two, our users will be able to start on the ground moving cash in and cash out. Currently, what they do is they either send us a bank transfer or mobile money transfer to purchase Dala in the app. But soon it will be face-to-face. And we're expanding with that, with all those merchants. We were looking at Nigeria, Ghana, Mozambique, Botswana, Kenya, Tanzania, even the UK. So we have a big roadmap ahead, lots of exciting products and different protocols that we're going to start building out on top of the Dala ecosystem to support more products and services within this context around lending, insurance, micro jobs. So we're going to keep building more and more services.
Fantastic. When you talk about more protocols, what exactly are you referring to? Do you envision becoming sort of a marketplace that other providers, you know, another provider of loans or another provider of insurance could be on your platform and your user could pay for those services with Dala? Or
yes, exactly. So we're actually this week releasing an updated technical white paper that outlines the entire strategy for Dala and these protocols we're building out. So, you know, we've been looking at a number of things. Dala is an ERC-20 token, and we always will be. But with the way we've been watching the blockchain space, we recognize that there's opportunity for a multi-chain asset strategy where we can essentially take the best of all blockchain technologies and build on top of those in different levels with atomic swaps. So we'll be publishing a technical white paper this week that outlines our strategy with that and some of the protocols we're going to be, that we've already started building actually, which is essentially, like you said, like a Dala marketplace where providers within this ecosystem can start accessing different different protocols that include insurance or lending or a micro jobs solution. So you should keep an eye out for that for this week.
Okay. And which layer is open source from all that you have built or that you're planning to build? Because I assume part of it is open source and then you're building all these functionalities or apps, adapts as I would call them, on top that are not open source.
Yeah, so Dala is completely open source right now. Walla as a financial app is not open source. Our plan is to continue to be open source.
Great. The other thing, Tricia, that I cannot but touch upon is about women. Obviously, you are one of the few or in the minority of women that are in blockchain in a business and tech involvement in a founding position, in a leading position. And I want to hear your views on that. I mean, my sort of, I would say, motto is that women were not involved in this space because culturally, it came out of the game space. I have a son and I watch, you know, I've been watching how he's so comfortable with token economies because of all these video games. And then I think that historically, we women have not been that much involved in you know, computer and network science and so on. So that's how it all started. And then there's all sorts of other social explanations about you know, men getting funded, innovation getting funded more than women, and so on. What have you seen? What is your experience from that aspect? And then we can talk about, you know, the community building and what you've seen of the female involvement in that aspect.
Yeah, you know, it's obviously the numbers are bleak, and it's for me, I guess I don't know if I get frustrated by it. It's concerning to me that there are not more women in the space. But I think it's also, you're right, it's where the space has evolved out of. And I constantly, there are a number of things that happen, whether it's with, you know, fundraising and, you know, the publicity or things like that. And I constantly question, as a female CEO in the space, you know, is it because I'm a woman? Is it because, like, are certain things happening? If I was a man, would this be happening? And yeah. I don't like to think that way, but the fact of the matter is, of course, right? There's sexism everywhere, and people are biased and they don't realize it. I think what's concerning is that there is still, you know, a lack of diversity in the space, and it's not even just females, right? Yeah. A lack of, you know, of brown founders, right? I am I'm a Mexican woman, so I'm like a double minority in the space. And I think we do need to continually build out more communities to create more inclusive environments. And, you know, even things of like my, when I tweet about certain things, and the crypto community, sometimes I get backlash if I comment and say things about how there's a lack of diversity and it's not an inclusive environment. And it's unfortunate because it's all men in the environment, and they don't recognize the privilege that they have. And so as a woman making a statement about something, you know, people argue that blockchain was designed to be inclusive, right? Like it's decentralized.
Yeah, but this is my main concern, and out of that concern, I want to highlight, you know, that we have to be outspoken and assertive about it. And then my concern is that this technology might be taken over by the stereotypical white male, you know, colleagues that I had on Wall Street, and it's nothing against them, but if we don't stick to the spirit of being decentralized and being diverse and being inclusive, then this is just another technology, and the Internet of Value is about IoT really, and not about really new values. And I want to be speaking about this more, because that's my weapon, so to speak, speaking and writing and raising the awareness, because in this technology, women and diversity has to be built in, and it has to be done from the beginning, not as add-on, not like we did it in the regular corporate world, because that's the way we did it in the regular corporate world, right? As you said, I often question whether I got an inquiry, an invite, because I'm a woman, or really because of the content, right? I don't know if you have that feeling often.
Oh, I do. And I know generally, like, because there aren't, like you said, there aren't many women in this space. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting invited to more conferences and speak, and it's because there's only a few of us, which, you know, I can use to my advantage right now. But it is also, you know, my mindset is we need wins. The one thing that drives me crazy about the crypto space is everyone is all talk and there's little execution, right? You see so much money being raised and all, you know, so much talking about we're going to do this and this, but nobody's really executing. And so our mentality has been, let's keep our heads down, let's work and deliver and be one of the first to prove that this can be successful, show people we have a real use case, and be a woman CEO in the space who is executing, so we can show, you know, to the market, look, we have wins. So that's what we're really focused on. And I wish, you know, it's unfortunate you can't say the same about many of those other companies, but yes.
Yeah. So, what are you seeing in terms of your users and the community that you have seen in Wala? How are women involved? Do you see already, maybe it's too early to see whether there is a differentiation in terms of women getting more involved, women being more you know, willing to use these services to their advantage? What are you seeing?
No, so we don't collect demographic data on our users, but we know, you know, who our users are based on names and and their profile pictures, and the vast majority are men. And you know, I'm not surprised, because in, you know, with Wala, we started by creating communities to provide financial tips and guidance and be, you know, kind of a financial friend to consumers. And it was always about 70% men, 30% women. And we had grew communities to over 1 million people. So a large portion, but for some reason, you know, we weren't actively going out and acquiring certain customers, but the people who gravitated towards us were generally men. And in emerging markets, that's a little strange, because women are generally the managers of money in these households. But you know, these are things that I do constantly think about. Do we need to have more outreach for women in these markets to provide education and show them the opportunities and how they can make money, you know, working with us or whatever the case is. And I also think about, we need to have hackathons in Cape Town, and maybe we should have like women outreach programs to show them the opportunities in blockchain and STEM development with young girls. And
Right. But when you talk about these communities, initially were they physical gatherings and meetups, or they are virtual communities?
Virtual.
Okay. So, I mean, as you said, there's obviously all sorts of ways that you could incentivize or try to educate and bring them closer. But the truth of the matter is that it's not naturally there. That's what you're seeing.
Yeah.
I see. And then in terms of good competition in your space, meaning, you know, other ventures that, you know, are in the space in different positioning, but are also, you know, live and not the talk, but rather walk and you know, booming in the ecosystem. Are you working with other fintechs since you came from that space? Or are you discussing collaborations with fintechs that are not blockchain?
You know, so in terms of competition, the greatest competition for us is cash, because that's the behavior we need to change. We're in terms of crypto startups in Africa, I would say we're probably one of the only ones. The only one that's actually has it in the hands of users transacting as a medium of exchange. Mm-hmm. There are some other ones who did token sales last year who are based in London or other continents, and they, you know, they don't really have a use case yet. And we're not, we've explored with some fintechs, but the hard part is it's really difficult to work with startups, because they're constantly changing and they are generally struggling to survive. So we generally work with larger organizations. Right now we're focused on big retailers. So a lot of it is expanding distribution, making sure consumers can transact with Dala in stores, and providing them more cash in and cash out channels to be purchasing Dala. So retailers, other large financial organizations and things like that.
Great, great, understood. Is there, what about the ID sort of issue that obviously is essential in your ecosystem? Is that done the traditional way, and the plan is to somehow go on the blockchain and collaborate with one of the, you know, ID, blockchain ID ventures that are open source and so on? Where are you at with that?
Yeah, so right now for any user of ours, all they need is a phone number to get a crypto wallet. We, you know, we don't require identification or anything like that, but we are have been working with the Consensus team and the Uport team of Consensus to talk about, right, they have their identification on the blockchain. So it's nothing immediate for us right now, but we are working with them to start building that out through the DALA DApp.
Got you. Understood. And can you tell us a little bit about the DALA tokens? What was the supply? What is the general sort of, is there an inflation rate? How can we think of the DALA token?
Yeah, so DALA, we minted 1 billion tokens last year. We broke up the supply through about 30% token backers, 40% for the DALA Foundation to provide as incentives to grow out the ecosystem to enterprises, and 30% to the WALA team, to the WALA company as the launch partner of DALA. It's at 18 decimal places. We needed to make sure that consumers could have micro transactions.
Great, Tricia, thank you so much. Is there anything else that you want to share with us in terms of plans, immediate steps, anything around your vision that we didn't talk about?
No, I think we covered it. I would just reiterate that, you know, emerging markets is where people should be looking at. And I think that's where we're going to get the biggest wins in the crypto space. So people should keep their eye on it. But right. If anyone wants to find out more about DALA, feel free to visit DALA.org or get WALA. Site is getwala.com. And we have a Telegram where people can chat with the DALA team and learn more about the crypto. And it's t.me/getwala.
Great. Thank you so much, Tricia. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.